بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله النبي الكريم أما بعد إن شاء الله we're going to start the first section of Imam Ghazali's book بداية الهداية today إن شاء الله and also the first lesson that he teaches us which is the adab or the etiquette of waking up from your sleep. Imam Ghazali رحمه الله says القسم الأول في الطاعات اعلم أن أوامر الله تعالى فرائض والنوافل. Know that the part one on obedience. Know that the commandments of Allah Most High pertain to the obligatory and the voluntary acts. فالفرد رأس المال وبه تحصل النجاة والنفل هو الربح وبه الفوز بالدرجات. The obligatory acts constitute the capital by which salvation is attained. The voluntary acts are the profit by which are reached the high levels of success. In the previous section, right before Imam Ghazali rahimullah, in his introduction when he has started off the book, he told us that in order to get success, you have to have taqwa. You have to fear of Allah subhanahu. You have to have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he breaks it down into different parts. Taqwa contains of two things, doing some good and refraining from some evil. Taqwa is of two parts, doing something and refraining. In the first section, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah is talking about obedience, meaning those actions that we should do. To attain taqwa, those actions that we should do. So he says that the commandments of Allah, the orders of Allah, the things Allah has commanded us to do is either an obligatory act, an obligation, it is a farz, or it is an optional. What does that mean? There's only two types of ibadah that you can do. There's only two types of commandments that you can fulfill. Either Allah has ordered you to do it, and you have to do it, or it's an optional act. In nawafil, sunnah is also under nawafil, under optional acts. So all the sunnahs that we do, all the mustahabbat that we do, the desirable acts that we do on our own, will fall under the category of optional. So it's either an obligation of Allah, or it is something that we do willingly out of our own desire. Then Imam Ghazali rahimullah explains it in a business way. He says that fard, an obligation, is like ra'sul mal, is like the capital of a business, meaning the money. Without the money, you can't do anything. Okay, so first you have to have the capital, which in Arabic will be called Ra's al-Mal. In order, then after you have the Ra's al-Mal, which is an obligation, without it you can't build anything on it. So he's saying first you need the capital, meaning the fard actions. Whatever Allah has made fard on you, you have to have it. You have to have it. Without it, you can't succeed at all. A business will not work at all. After you have the Ra's al-Mal, after you have the capital, after you have the bottom money, then you can get profit. So he's saying fard actions, an obligation upon us. That's the ra's al mal, that is the capital. But the optional acts that we do is the profit. This is the way Imam Ghazali rahimahullah explains the fara'id and the voluntary actions. Then he narrates a very beautiful hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قال الله عز وجل ما تقرب إلي المتقربون بمثل أداء ما افترضته عليهم ولا يزال العبد يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر به ولسان الذي ينطق به ويده التي يبتش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Most High says, those who draw near to me do not draw near to me with anything better than the acts I have made obligatory upon them. And a servant continues to draw near to me by voluntary acts of worship until I love him. And when I love him, I become the hearing with which he hears, the sight with which he sees, the tongue with which he speaks, the hand with which he strikes, and the foot with which he walks. A very, very beautiful hadith of Qudsi, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it, and through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said it. In order to get closer to Allah, to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to do the obligations. Whatever He has made far upon you, you have to do it. What is included in far? There's two types of far. Far the ayn and far the kifaya. Far the ayn means something that is far upon you. Every human being has to pray. Meaning it's not something that we need to do in a congregation. Meaning we don't have to, it's not fard to do it in a congregation. It's better to do it in a congregation. But on you as one person, it is fard to pray. You as in one person, it is fard to give zakat. You as in one person, it is fard to fast in Ramadan. Then there's something called fard kifaya, which means if a part of the community does it, it will be enough for the rest of the community. For example, the janazah prayer, a funeral prayer of someone, it is fard to pray upon that person. But if a small group of people pray on that person, it will suffice for the community. If no one in the community prays the salat al-janazah of a person, then everyone will be in that community will be considered a sinner. Everyone within that community will be considered a sinner. That's what fard kifaya is. Similarly, every community needs doctors. People will get sick. You need to make sure that the Muslim community has someone to return to. You need every community needs scholars to go back to ask them about how to live their daily lives. So in every community, you need these kinds of people. You need different kinds of people that will suffice or be fard kifaya for the community. Likewise, also from the first actions is to stay away from sins. All the sins like drinking alcohol, anything like that, all the sins, this is also fard for us to refrain from. Then another thing that is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is spiritual aspect. Meaning we need to have tawakkul on Allah, fear of Allah. To do these things that we need to have these kind of beliefs. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, full reliance on Allah, that Allah will take care of us. But remember, without doing the obligations, you can't go to the fard act. You can't go, without doing the fard acts, the obligatory actions, you can't go to the voluntary actions. I'll give you an example we can study, you can understand in our daily lives. When a person gets married, there are certain things that he doesn't have to do for his wife. He doesn't have to buy her medicine. He doesn't have to buy her food. Maybe it's fard upon him to give her a certain amount of money. Your wife doesn't have to cook for you. She doesn't have to make you tea. She doesn't have to do anything. But now, if she only did the fard actions, the actions that she has to do, or the husband only does the fard actions, there will be absolutely no love. There will be absolutely no love. So that's why everything that a wife does optional increases the love of the husband. Anything that the husband does as an optional act increases the love with the wife. So likewise, Allah is saying that I have made certain actions an obligation upon you. You have to pray the fard prayers. So you pray the fard prayers out of fear of me. But anything extra you do it just out of your own will you did it. So when you do something on an optional level, willingly doing it, you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah loves you. Just like the example of a husband and wife. If it was only the fard actions, there would be absolutely no love. She gets sick, you don't have to do nothing. You want food, she doesn't have to cook it for you. But she's going to willingly do it. As an optional action from her, she's going to do it. And thus there will be an increase of love within the family. So likewise, in order to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do the fard actions because He has commanded us to do it, and there's a punishment that we should fear if we don't do it. But with these optional actions that we do, these extra rakats that we pray, this zikr that we do, this Quran that we do, gives us and draws us closer to Allah where Allah loves us. And then what happens? Whatever we hear, Allah becomes the ears through which we hear, the eyes through which we see, the hands with which we strike, and the feet with which we walk. What does that mean? Everything that you use, your eyes, you see, you do it with the pleasure of Allah. Behind it, you're looking at something because you want to get the pleasure of Allah. Whatever you hear, you're trying to get the pleasure of Allah. Whatever you're doing, with actions with your hands, you're trying to get the pleasure of Allah. Wherever you're walking towards, you're doing everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remember, in order to do the voluntary acts, you have to first do the fard. Don't stay up the whole night so you can pray tahajjud and miss fajr. Don't stay up the whole night talking about deen and saying we need to do the khidmah of the deen, serve the community. Stay up the whole night discussing it and miss salat al-fajr. Obligations we have to do. Voluntary actions are always secondary. Okay, in normal human being life, a person is going to fulfill his responsibility. He's going to make sure he has a job that he can provide his family with. Then he's going to do any voluntary acts. Obligations are first, voluntaries are second. So we have to make sure we do voluntary acts. One poet said it so beautifully, "Man shagalahu al-fardu an al-nafli fahuwa ma'dhur." Whoever occupies himself in fulfilling the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he doesn't have time for optional acts, then this person is excusable. He has a valid excuse because he busies himself with those things that Allah has made fard upon him. But وَمَنْ شَغْلَهُ النَّفْلُ عَنِ الْفَرْدِ فَهُوَ مَغْرُورٌ. But if a person keeps himself occupied in all these optional acts, voluntary acts, serving the community, picking up trash, doing all these things, but he doesn't do the obligations, then this person is being deceived. Because he's thinking he's doing something really good, but he's going against the commands of Allah where he has ordered us to do something which is fard. So before we get to the voluntary acts, we need to make sure that we're doing, the fard acts, we're doing the obligation acts.
وَلَنْ تَسِلَ أَيُّهُ الطَّالِبُ إِلَى الْقِيَامِ بِأَوَامِرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِلَّا بِمُرَاقَبَةِ قَلْبِكَ وَجَوَارِحِكَ فِي لَحَظَاتِكَ وَأَنْفَاسِكَ مِنْ حِينِ تُمْسِي إِلَى حِينِ تُصْبِحِ.
Imam Ghazali rahimullah further states, and you, dear seeker, will not be able to rise to carry out the commands of Allah Most High until you monitor your heart and your limbs in every moment, in every breath, from the time you wake up until the time you sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا خَرَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that He has created us for His worship. And without a doubt, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every second of his life was in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't praying tahajjud the whole night. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't doing zikr the whole day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't reading Quran the whole night on the whole day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a normal human being like us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to work at the initial stages of his life before Nubuwwah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did everything that a human being would do. He got married, he had kids, he had upbringing, he had a wife, he had children, he had all these things just like a normal human being. A person has to attain to these things. A very beautiful hadith. Hanzala radiallahu anhu. He comes to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he meets Hanzala radiallahu anhu, and he says, "Ya Hanzala, how are you? Kayfa anta? How are you?" Hanzala radiallahu anhu says, "Nafaka Hanzala." Hanzala radiallahu anhu has become munafiq. He has become a hypocrite. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, "Subhanallah, ma taqul? Subhanallah, what are you saying? You are a sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why are you saying that you are a munafiq? Why are you saying that you are a hypocrite?" Hanzala radiallahu anhu says, "When I'm sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yudhakkiru bin nari wal jannah, hatta ka'anna ra'yu aynan." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions Jannah to us. He mentions Jahannam to us. And I feel like Jannah and Jahannam is right in front of me. But when I leave the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I attain my wife, I go to my children, I play with my children, I take care of my business, and I completely forget everything. فَنَسِينَا كَثِيرًا. And I forget a lot. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, "Subhanallah, I have the same feeling." So they both go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hanzala radiallahu anhu says, that I have become munafiq. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Wa ma dhak? What are you saying?" And he says the same thing. He says, "Ya Messenger, O Messenger of Allah, when I was sitting with you, you tell us about Jannah and Jahannam. And I feel like Jannah and Jahannam is right in front of me. But when I leave your gathering, I go to my children, my businesses, and I go to my wife and all these things, but I completely forget it." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Oh Hanzala, in law tadumuna ala ma takununa indi. If you were to continuously being in that same exact state, that when you are in my gathering, if you were to remain in that state the entire day, continuously throughout your entire life, then subhanallah, Hanzala, the angels will come and greet you on your bed. The angels will come and greet you while you're walking on the path, because you have a very high status. You're trying to do what the angels do." Hanzala, sa'atan wa sa'atan, sa'atan wa sa'atan, sa'atan wa sa'atan. Hanzala, there's a time for this and there's a time for that. There's a time for this, there's a time for that. There's a time for this and there's a time for that. So, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did everything in accordance to the obedience of Allah. We can't say any moment, any breath that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took went in accordance to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Ghazali rahimahullah is telling us that we need to make sure from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep needs to be in accordance, and every moment of our life, every breath of our life should be for the pleasure of Allah. The problem is, how do we do this? How do we make every second of our life be in accordance to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Imam Ghazali rahimahullah is going to teach us inshallah some things that he has learned in his own life. Inshallah we should be able to take benefit from that too inshallah when he starts the first chapter.
فَعْلَمْ أن الله تبارك وتعالى مطلع على ضميرك ومشرف على ظاهرك وباطنك ومحيط بجميع خطراتك ولحظاتك وخطواتك وسائر سكناتك وحركاتك وأنك في مخالطتك وخلواتك متردد بين يديه فلا يسكن في الملك والملكوت ساكن ولا يتحرك متحرك إلا وجبار السماوات والأرض مطلع عليه قال الله عز وجل يعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور وقال ويعلم السر وأخفى.
Note that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closely observing your innermost heart. He beholds your inner and outer being. No thought, moment, or step of yours escapes His regard, nor any of your moments of stillness or movement, both in the company of others and the solitude of yourself. You are ever in His presence. In both the hidden and the manifest dominions, nothing that is still, and nothing that moves, moves, but the compeller of the heavens and the earth is aware of it. He says in the Quran, He knows the treachery of the eyes and what is concealed in the breast. Another ayah, He says, He knows the secret and what is still more hidden. Over and over, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah is telling us to watch our heart. Over and over, He's telling us, make sure our heart is in accordance to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Control your heart. Make sure you're not showing off. Make sure you're doing everything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Control your heart. Control your intentions. Over and over, He's trying to make us aware of this and conscious of this, that our heart has a very strong say in what we do. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that if this heart is clean, if this heart is pure, then the rest of your body is pure. If this heart is corrupted, if this heart doesn't have correct intentions, then the rest of your body is corrupted. That is the power of the heart. So Imam Ghazali in his introduction, the first chapter, over and over is telling us to look at our hearts. And then he tells us in a beautiful ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. Allah knows your secrets and what is even more hidden. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma mentions this ayah. He does the tafsir of it. Who's the mufassir of mufassir? Who knows the tafsir better than anyone? Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said that what this means is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you hide in your own heart, and He knows what's not even there. Meaning He even knows even your secrets more than you know your own secrets. He knows the secrets of secrets. He knows even something even more deeper in you. This is how aware and conscious, this is how aware Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of your heart. He knows everything that is going on. Your own secrets that you know and the secrets you don't know. He knows them both. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He's watching every moment, every step that we take. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. Imam Ghazali, one scholar said that, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَنْتَ فَلَا شَيْهِ. If you intend to do something, فَعْلَمْ أَوَّلًا. The first thing that should come to your mind, أن الله تعالى حاضر مناظر. Allah is watching me and Allah is seeing what I'm doing. Then start that action after having this in mind. Whenever you're about to do something, think about this first. Allah is present and Allah is watching you. Now do what you want. With this in mind, Allah is watching every step that I'm doing. فتأدب أيها المسكين ظاهرا وباطنا بين يدي الله تعالى تأدب العبد الذليل المذنب في حضرة الجبار القهار واجتهد ألا يراك مولاك حيث نهاك ولا يفقدك حيث أمرك ولن تقدر على ذلك إلا بأن توزع أوقاتك وترتب أورادك من صاحبك إلى مسائك من سباهك إلى مسائك فأصغي إلى ما يلقى إليك من أوامر الله تعالى عليك من حين تستقيد من منامك إلى وقت رجوعك إلى مضجعك. Therefore, O destitute one, cultivate a deep courtesy with the divine in your outer self as well as your inner self, the courtesy and the bearing of a humble, erring slave, and the presence of a supreme, all-powerful master. Make your greatest effort that he not find you present where he has forbidden you, where he has forbidden you to be, nor find you absent from where he has commanded you to be. You will never be capable of this unless you manage your time. Organize your routine of worship from morning to night. So pay attention to Allah, what is presented to you here concerning the commands that Allah Most High has laid upon you from the time you awake from your sleep until the time you return to your bed. So Imam Ghazali rahimullah is saying, first of all, he mentions a person should be a humble slave. So whenever he repents to Allah, he feels like he has done something completely wrong. Completely humbles himself and puts himself down. He goes on to say, don't do something where Allah will find you doing something that He has forbidden you to do. Don't let Allah find you doing something wrong. Don't be in a state that you're doing haram and Allah finds you. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that we are doing. So he's saying, don't do those actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be upset with you. A person came to Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahimallah, and he says, I'm having trouble from stopping myself from sinning. I don't know how to stop sinning. I don't know what to do. So Ibrahim ibn Adham says, if you follow these five conditions, then the disobedience that you do, the sins that you commit won't harm you. The sins that you commit won't harm you. All you have to do is follow these five conditions. He says, okay, what are those conditions? When you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then don't eat from anything He provides you. He says, how can I do that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides everything. So he says, and how can you disobey the one who's providing you? You know, you go to someone's house, he feeds you, gives you dinner, and then you yell at him. Then you disobey him. No, he's feeding you, he's providing for you. How can you disobey him? He says, okay, what's the second condition? He said, when you want to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then do it somewhere, do it off His land. Don't do it on Allah's land. He says, subhanAllah, how can I do this? The entire world belongs to Allah. I can't find a place where Allah doesn't own. He said, then how can you disobey the one who provides you and He lets you live on His land? He says, okay, what's the third condition? When you want to disobey Allah, find a place He can't see you. He says, subhanAllah, He can see me anywhere I go. How can I find a place where Allah can't see me? He says, then why are you disobeying the one who provides you, gives you a place to stay, and then on top of that, you know He's watching you. How can you disobey Him? He said, okay, what's the fourth condition? The fourth condition is, when the angel of death comes to you, tell him, no, hold on. I need to repent first. He says, I can't do that. When the angel of death comes, that's my time. I can't tell the angel of death, hold on, give me some respect, give me some time. I have to go repent. He said, if you can't ward off death, if you can't hold off death, then how can you be saved? You need to repent earlier. I said, okay, what's the fifth condition? He says, on the day of judgment, when the angels come to you to take you to Jahannam, tell them you're not going with them. Just tell the angel of hell, that the people that are going to, the angels are going to take you to hell. No, I'm not coming with you. I don't want to go there. He says, I can't do that. The angels are going to take me there whether I like it or not. He says, if you can't even tell the angels no, then why are you disobeying Allah? How can you be saved? He says, from that moment he repented and never sinned again. From that moment he never sinned again. Every time he was here, Ibrahim said that, I have to go to somewhere where Allah can't see me. After applying the face, Allah doesn't own me. That Allah doesn't own. So these are things that we need, minds that we need to have, this understanding mindset that we need to have. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, is aware of everything that we do. Then Imam Ghazali says, you will never be able to do this. Get closer to Allah until you make a routine, until you make a schedule. Schedule your worship throughout the day. You know, this common sense. If you have a business, you go to work, you have to follow a routine. The normal routine. Go to work at 8, come back at 5, whatever the routine is in everyone's life. In order to be successful, you have to follow a routine. There's steps to take. It's in order to build. You got to follow this routine, then it builds. Then you find out how to do things faster. You find out how to do these things that took you maybe 3-4 hours, and now they take you maybe a few minutes to study them. In school, when you go to school, and initially the first month of school, it's very difficult. The teacher goes very, very slow because this is something new for you. This is something that you're seeing for the first time. And then near the end of the year or throughout the middle of the year, they start to speed up because now you're able to comprehend these things a lot faster. You're able to understand these things a lot faster. So when a person builds a routine, he follows that schedule. Then he finds out, okay, now this thing that was taking me 2 hours before, now it's taking me 1 hour. Now I've got another extra hour to spare. I can do something else in these 2 hours. So when we make a schedule, and this is one of the khasiyat, the specialties or the peculiarities, is something that's very good that the scholars had, is they had a schedule of their ibadah. And they were able to accomplish more in very little time. You know, they would start off maybe doing zikr maybe 100 times. La ilaha illallah maybe 100 times. But they got so used to it, they were able to build it to 1,000, to 10,000. They were, because of a routine, because of a schedule, because they were able to do it so easily, it was on their tongue, it would just flow. It would just flow off their tongue. That's why we should do zikr la ilaha illallah sometimes, so on our deathbed, la ilaha illallah easily flows from our mouth. Because we're used to saying it. It's common for us to say it. If a person curses or swears all the time, it's very easy for him to say it. It doesn't even affect him. You know, when you're younger and your parents teach you, don't curse, don't swear. And when you hear someone swear, you hear someone curse, it has a very strong effect on you. Because you're not used to it. These aren't words that you want to hear. These are evil words. So la ilaha illallah should be flowing on our tongue. So when we're on our deathbed, we say, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. So these are the kind of death that we want, that la ilaha illallah is flowing from our tongue. We'll start the first section, inshaAllah. Inshallah, every week we'll try to bring one or two new habits in our life. فصل في آداب الاستيقاظ من النوم. After this section, inshallah, will end it. Give us some time to contemplate and bring it into our life, inshallah. فصل في آداب الاستيقاظ من النوم. فإذا استيقظت من النوم فاستعد أن تستيقظ قبل طلوع الفجر وليكن أول ما يجري على قلبك ولسانك ذكر الله تعالى. He says, when you awake from your sleep, try to be awake before dawn and let the first words in your heart and on your tongue be the remembrance of Allah Most High. Imam Ghazali rahimullah is basically indirectly telling us to try to get up for tahajjud prayer. To try to get up for tahajjud prayer. And we know the reward for tahajjud prayer too. You know, this is a time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking for people to ask for forgiveness. Because it's at a time, a normal time, where people aren't asking for forgiveness. You know, sacrifice, what is sacrifice? To do something you can't really do. Normally you can't do. To sacrifice something, something that you beloved, you give it up just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our sense, a truck sacrifice, something that you love, something that's normally not part of your habits, that you can't do. That's what sacrifice is. So now Allah is looking for someone to ask Him for to beg for forgiveness at a time no one is begging for forgiveness. That's what true fact sacrifice is, because no one wakes up in the middle of the night to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. It's not that common. Not many people can do it. So Allah wants to see those people that are able to get up at that night and ask Allah to forgive him. So there's a lot of reward for tahajjud. But Imam Ghazali rahimahullah is saying, try to get up before dawn. Try to get up before Fajr. And maybe try to pray some salatul tahajjud. And it won't be that difficult. How many hours of sleep does a normal person need? Maybe 7 to 8 hours at most. To sleep at a time where you can get up for tahajjud and get at least still 8 hours of sleep. And then you can start your day off in the morning too. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. That, oh Allah, bless the mornings of this ummah. And you notice you're able to do so many things in the morning. If you ask a child who's doing hifz, he'll tell you one of the best times to memorize is in the morning. His mind is fresh and he can easily memorize a page or two. Because the mornings have the barakat and the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But now if it's difficult for someone to get up, he has a lot of trouble. Once he sleeps, it's hard to get up. So at least what you can do is try to get up for tahajjud. Make the intention before you go to sleep. And even if you don't get up for tahajjud, you get the reward of tahajjud because you have the intention to get up. That is the power of intention. A person has intention to get up for salatul tahajjud. Even if he doesn't get up, he gets the reward for it. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, pray salatul isha and salatul fajr in congregation in the masjid and you will get the reward as if you had prayed tahajjud the entire night. You don't have to get up. You just pray Salat al-Aisha and Salat al-Fajr in congregation and as if you had prayed the entire night. So if we can't get up for Salat al-Tahajjud, the first thing we need to do is make intention to get up. And inshallah, because of the intention, we'll still get reward. Now these are not just simple, normal things. These are actually practical things that we can do in our lives. Before a person goes to sleep, make intention to get up for Tahajjud. If it's very difficult, make intention every night, but before you go to sleep, just go ahead and pray 2 rakats. And that can count as Tahajjud too. Tahajjud is anything that is offered after the Isha prayer. So pray 2 rakats before you go to sleep. There you got the reward of tahajjud. Real tahajjud, meaning the tahajjud in its essence, the reward, is to do something, meaning to force yourself to do something. Which means to go to sleep and wake up. That's the real tahajjud in essence. But you can pray tahajjud before you go to sleep and still get some reward too. But essence tahajjud is to go to sleep and forcefully wake yourself up. That's what real tahajjud is. But if you can't do it, go to sleep, pray 2 rakats before you go to sleep, and have intention to get up for tahajjud, and you still get the reward. And these things might look small, but in reality, there's a lot of barakat and blessing from Allah when a person does this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this person more rewards. And when a person has a lot of blessing, when he has the blessings of Allah, when he has the blessings, the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's able to accomplish more. We don't need to just believe everything on the material world, because this is how we see it. There's blessing is something we don't see. Comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to act upon that. Then Imam Ghazali says, when you get up, the first thing that should be on your mind is not what time is it. Am I late for work? Did I wake up too early? It's the middle of the night. I don't know. You know, I can't see. What time is it? Don't say that. Remember Allah when you wake up. When you go to sleep, remember Allah when you wake up. How hard is it? You know, if you have any du'as, Imam Ghazali mentioned some du'as. If anyone has the book, they can memorize these du'as too. But at least say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur. All praise belongs to the one who gave me life after death. Because sleep is a type of death. Sleep is a type of death. All praise belongs to Allah who brought me back to life after death. You know, this is the first thing that should be on our mind. Then check your time. Then check the time. But how hard is it to just say, just to say, Alhamdulillah, Allah allowed me to get up for another day. You know, these small, small things. But you're remembering Allah and you're praising Allah the moment you wake up. Alhamdulillah. You know, sometimes we just say Alhamdulillah, if we make a habit, we don't know what we're saying. Try to understand what you're saying too. And if you can't memorize the whole entire dua with the translation, then at least know the Alhamdulillah part and feel like you're saying Alhamdulillah. Then if you can memorize the translation for the other ones, you know, look at it maybe sometimes here and there. But at least feel that I'm thanking Allah for allowing me to get up again. Because there's so many people that I don't even get up. And then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has allowed me to get up as a believer. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that people will wake up as believers and sleep as disbelievers. And some people will wake up as disbelievers and sleep as believers. And we don't know at night will we be sleeping as a believer or a disbeliever. So thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to wake up again and for allowing us to wake up in a state of iman that we have belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith of Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that shaitan ties 3 knots on a person when he goes to sleep. When he wakes up, there's 3 knots that he needs to open. How does he open the first knot? By thanking Allah. By remembering Allah. In istaykada, dhakiran lillahi ta'ala. When he remembers Allah when he wakes up. Remember, remembering Allah. Not specific dua. Remembering Allah. The first knot is off. Shaitan's pressure is no longer on you. The first knot is off. The second knot is when you go and make wudu. The second knot is removed when you go and make wudu. The third knot is removed when you go pray salah. Then if a person does this, then he will wake up energized. He'll wake up, he's able to do so many things because he's fresh. He doesn't wake up right before work and goes to work and then he's so lazy and he can see it on his face as this person just woke up. If a person gets up like this, remembers Allah, makes wudu, prays, he becomes energized at this time. And remember, when a person makes wudu too, it makes him really fresh. Then he does then when he prays 2 rakats or you know, prays any salah, then he got some motion going on too. So it exercises his body a little bit too. So this is just hikmah. But this is how you can wake up too. So the Prophet ﷺ says that shaitan ties 3 knots and these are the ways to untie them. What should you say? We'll just translate the du'as. But Imam Ghazali rahimahullah mentioned some du'as. فَقُلْ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَحْيَانَ بَعْدَ مَا مَاتَنَا وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ أَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ وَالْعِظْمَةُ وَالسُّلْطَانُ لِلَّهِ وَالْعِزَّةُ وَالْقُدْرَةُ لِلَّهِ Praise be to Allah, who has brought us back to life after causing us to die, and to whom shall be the resurrection. We have entered the morning, as has the dominion belonging to Allah. Grandeur and might belong to Allah. Magnificent and power belong to Allah. Asbahna ala fitratil Islam, wa ala kalimatil ikhlas, wa ala deeni nabiyyina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala millati abina Ibrahim hanifan musliman wa ma kana minal mushrikeen. At least understand the translation. So if we wake up, we can have this in mind. We have entered the morning upon the natural faith of submission, meaning we have woke up with Islam and Iman in our heart, upon the word of sincerity and the religion of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the nation of our father Ibrahim, a pure monotheist and one who submitted to God, and who is not of the idolaters, who is not of the ones who used to worship idols. اللهم إنا نسألك أن تبعثنا في هذه في هذا أصبح اللهم بك أصبحنا وبك أمسينا وبك نحيا وبك نموت وإليك النشور. Oh Allah, by you we enter the morning and by you we enter the evening. Oh Allah, by you we live and by you we die and the resurrection is to you. اللهم إنا نسألك أن تبعثنا في هذا اليوم إلى كل خير ونعوذ بك أن نشتره فيه سوءا أو نجره إلى مسلما أو يجره أحد إلينا. Oh Allah, we ask you to send us every good thing on this day. Something that we should ask for Allah in that morning, even in English. Oh Allah, we ask you to send us to every good thing on this day. Meaning khair in our day, barakat in our day, something good in our day. And we seek your protection from doing evil on this day. When I wake up, I'm going to do good. I'm not going to commit any sins. From bringing it upon a Muslim or from anyone bringing it upon us. Either we causing evil to someone else or someone causing evil to us. We ask Allah to protect us from both things. We ask you for the good of this day and the best of what it holds. And we seek refuge with you from the evil of this day and the evil of what it holds. نسألك خير هذا الخير هذا اليوم وخير ما فيه ونعوذ بك من شره وشر ما فيه. Then, what do we do after we wake up? فإذا لبست ثيابك فانوي به امتثال أوامر أمر الله تعالى في ستر عورتك واحذر أن يكون قصدك من لباسك مراءة الخلق فتخسر. Thereafter, when you get dressed, make your intention obedience to Allah's command by covering yourself appropriately. Beware lest your intention in wearing your clothes be to display people before to display before people and you suffer loss. Meaning, what do we do after that? After we make madu, after we pray, after we wake up, what do? We put on some clothes. Shaykh Imam Ghazali rahimahullah is starting off our day. We start off our day with good intentions. We start off our day by remembering Allah. And even the clothes that you wear have intention that are not showing off. What does this mean? Means you can wear the best of clothing. You can have the nicest suit on. You can have the nicest dressed on. But when you put these clothes on, you're not trying to show off. You may be wearing it because it's comfortable. Because, you know, throughout the day it's easy to wear. You might be doing it because this is the kind of clothes a person of your caliber, a person of your position should be wearing. A person who is a CEO, he's supposed to be wearing a different type of dress. Everyone has their position. A scholar wears different types of clothing. Everyone wears clothes in accordance to their position. So our intention should be that we are not showing off. We are wearing it because of whatever other reason, but we are not doing it to please people. And at the end of the day, we're still trying to get reward. We're still trying to get the pleasure of Allah. Now, this clothes that when you have correct intention, throughout your entire day, for as long as you are wearing this clothes, as long as you are wearing these clothes, you'll be rewarded for it. For as long as you are wearing these clothes, you will be rewarded for it because of the intention you had at the beginning when you wore it. This is how we should start off our day. Remembering Allah. When we put on our clothes, having correct intentions that we're wearing it not to show off, but at the end of the day, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah used to tell his students that the scholars, the teachers and the students should wear the best of dresses, should smell the best, because you carry the sacred knowledge. Be pleasing to people in a way that people can come to you and ask questions. So you should dress the best too. You should smell the best too. Don't just dress up in old, raggedy clothes that are torn. Dress nicely. So this is the advice Imam Abu Hanifa used to give to his students. Imam Malik rahimullah would wear a new dress every day and do sadaqah of his old dress. Every day he wears something new and gives sadaqah of the old clothes. Imam Bukhari rahimullah used to take a shower, put on nice clothes, put on itar before he wrote any hadith. So there's nothing wrong with having a nice car. There's nothing wrong with wearing nice clothes. What's wrong about it is the intention you have behind it. So when a person can control his intentions, then he can drive the nicest car and it won't affect his heart at all. So if we control our intentions on what we wear, what we dress, and what we drive, then inshallah there will be reward for it and it will not be lost. Like Imam Ghazali rahimahullah says, if we have the wrong intention, then you will suffer from it, you won't benefit from it. So what we should try to do now is try to bring these things in our life. Memorize any dua that you can. If you can't memorize any dua, say Alhamdulillah at least. And at least feel that I'm waking up because Allah has allowed me to. I want to thank Allah for letting me wake up. I want to thank Allah for letting me wake up with iman. I want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me another chance to get closer to Him. I want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good of this day and to ask Him to protect me from the evil of this day. And the three steps to remove the knots of shaitan. Zikr, to remember Allah, to make wudu, to pray. And whenever we put on clothes, we put it on with correct intentions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to act upon this. Jazakumullahu khayran wa akhi da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.